You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, it's 8 o'clock straight up. John and Lance, Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, joins us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did a nice piece on Pete Jenkins, who is not a coach for Alabama. He's a coaches. He coaches the coaches, is what Pete Jenkins does. And Ross Dellinger did a nice long-form piece in Sports Illustrated about him, and he's joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Ross, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good. How are y'all?
Man, we appreciate you. This is a good piece. This is a really nice, a really neat piece, and it's old school. How did you start delving into Pete Jenkins, who's been a behind the scenes guy forever? How did you how did this come about?
Well, back in about 4 or 5 years ago, I was a beat writer covering LSU football, living in Baton Rouge, and Pete obviously around the LSU program for years. And as I wrote in that story, joined Ed Orgeron's staff as a full-time coach when I was there as a beat writer. And so the relationship kind of came from there. And I was in Destin in May for a story about it was kind of a weird off-season story about how football coaches have houses in Destin, and retired football coaches have houses in Destin, and they go to Destin to retire, becoming a new kind of spot. And I just happened to visit Pete, and he kind of took me up to his sanctuary, if you will, in the second floor of his office, and we got to talking, and one thing led to another, and I thought this would be a cool story to write about Pete's influence on the Alabama football program in Nick Saban.
I mean, Alabama football program, yeah, but also LSU. I know that Pete Jenkins' name has been an institution at LSU as well. He was there for multiple stops, and I'm here for the Joe Moore Award in Michigan. They won the award. It's named after Joe Moore, who was Aaron Taylor's offensive line coach at Notre Dame. Aaron yesterday said he wants to create the Pete Jenkins Award for best defensive line in college football as well. So just a little heads up there. I think it would be very apropos.
Yes, very much. And, you know, I should say, as you mentioned there, Pete hasn't just helped out the Alabama program, LSU obviously, but a lot of others, including Michigan. He is a consultant that kind of works with defensive line coaches everywhere, pretty much. It seems like he's been a consultant in the last decade for more than 40 college programs. And this past year, he consulted with 8 of them, and 3 of the 8 are in the college football playoff, Alabama, Georgia, and Michigan. So he's been a big influence, and his coaching tree kind of stretches out across the country and has plenty of NFL and college defensive line coaches who are on that tree. And certainly, which fascinating to me, which was one of the most fascinating things, when I went up to his law office, he popped on his computer, and it had two screens kind of joining next to each other, and he put on one screen a video of a defensive lineman operating in a drill from the late 80s, early 90s, and there was Pete, 40 at the time, about 45-year-old Pete, kind of looking over, watching over the drill. And then on the other screen, he put a video that's just a few months old of an older Pete watching a defensive lineman operate through the same drill.
And that's funny, Ross, is because he's teaching the same things, isn't he?
Yeah, nothing's really changed. That's what, and that's why, you know, he says he's still relevant today. Is because, you know, at 80 years old, there's not a lot of 80-year-old coaches out there who have been, you know, in the industry for more than 5 decades and are still really relevant and used by so many people around college sports. And the one reason Pete said he is, or one of the reasons, is because the game in the box, as he said, the 1-on-1 matchups, offensive line, defensive line, the techniques of that matchup hasn't really changed over the years. The offensive football has changed, the gun football in general, obviously, has changed a lot since Pete got in it in 1964. But what hasn't changed is the 1-on-1 matchup in the trenches.
Yeah. Russ Dellinger with us here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Do you know what kind of role he's going to play in this upcoming playoffs?
Well, he was at Alabama on campus last week working with the defensive line coach there, Freddie, and they were, he was spent, I think, 5 or 6 days there on campus. So he's kind of did his part. I think that's probably the extent of the run for him. And he'll just now sit back and relax a little bit in probably his home in Destin or his home in Baton Rouge and watch the playoff he's hit on television.
Russ Dellinger joins us right now. We're talking about college football teams getting better. They're all looking for the advantages. Russ, some of them, I think it's interesting because some teams will try to do it in the strength and conditioning program. Some teams will do it through analytics. But I think fine-tuning, what you're talking about is fine-tuning technique and fundamentals is just such a critical part of that. And it's one of the reasons why that's something where in an industry where everyone's trying to trend to the younger coaches, it is the older coaches who still have the best understanding of the building blocks for success in the trenches.
Absolutely. And I think it's just like anything in life. The more experience you have, the more wisdom you have and the more knowledge you have and the better understanding you have to pass on to the next generation. And I think that's what Pete has. And there was a funny story shared with me during Pete's time as a defensive line coach under Nick Saban at LSU back in 2000, 2001. They were in a meeting and Nick said something. Nick is 10 years younger than Pete. And so Nick said something about Pete having more wisdom from his years just alive and how Nick was jealous of that. And Pete, always kind of a jokester, one of the guys who could be the really jokey with Nick, like not many can. And so he responded, well, coach, I'm jealous of your salary. And kind of everybody froze. It was in a staff meeting, and everybody kind of froze, like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe he just said this to Nick Saban, the head coach, the dictator. And Nick just cackled in laughter. So they have an interesting relationship and a unique one.
Yeah.
that seems like just a great out-loud, laugh-out-loud joke right off the bat, but Nick's such a – golly, that's just so funny that everyone has to freeze up because that's how Nick Saban is.
Yeah. Are you kidding? Wait, did you talk to
– easy, Pete.
How
easy
much did
Pete.
You get to talk to Nick on this deal?
Well, not very long, but I did get him this past summer, actually, at SEC Media Days. Got him off to the side for a few minutes. I would have loved more time, but Nick's time is very, he keeps a pretty regimented schedule, and there's not a whole lot of media time built in, but I did get him off to the side. And even though it was for a short period, he got his message across that Pete was the best defensive line coach he'd ever been around. I thought he had a really kind of great quote, in that he respects Pete because Pete is a football guy, Nick said, and has an old school approach. And I think Nick said something like, just like me, so there, I think he sees Pete Jenkins as a guy that views the game of football like he does.
Ross Dellinger here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And listen up, Aggies, because if Pete was with that LSU staff, Jimbo was there. Jimbo got 4 or 5 great defensive linemen. I would imagine Pete Jenkins Do you know that he has a relationship with A&M?
Yeah, in fact, before Jimbo was at A&M, you know, he was obviously at Florida State, and Pete went to Florida State, I think, quite a bit in a consulting role there, because most of Nick Saban's former assistants who became head coaches ended up hiring Pete in a similar consulting role, kind of copying, you know, the recipe, hopefully, for success. And one of the ingredients was have Pete Jenkins come coach, you know, your defensive line coach. So he did. He has a relationship in his work at Florida State when Jimbo was there. Same with several other Nick Saban kind of disciples, including, of course, Kirby Smart.
Right. And well, right. He's with Georgia and he's with Michigan as well. And oh, Texas, by the way, you too. Bo Davis is in, the defensive line coach for Texas. He's in this story as well, talking about Pete. So you can imagine that Pete will be part of that program as well. Actually, Bo Davis actually played for Pete Jenkins at LSU. Good stuff, man. Great article. If you get to Sports Illustrated, look up Ross Dellinger, college football writer for SI. Really nice piece, Ross. We appreciate your time and hanging with us this morning.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. There's Ross Dellinger right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And Christmas at Klein's, baby. It's Christmas at Klein's time. It is Friday. And if you're looking for the best in jewelry this holiday season for her, listen, I don't want to put it out there, but I'm getting a little something from Marky for Wendy for this holiday season, and just makes sense. It makes perfect sense. If you're looking for that jewelry, this is the place to go. There is nowhere else to go. Mark is going to get it at the best price for you. He's unbelievable. I'm telling you, if you're looking for jewelry this holiday season, you got to get there. You still have time. You still have time for him to make it. But it's Wednesday. Christmas is Saturday. You got to pick it up. You got to bring it to her. You got to get this done now. Stop procrastinating. You've been procrastinating for too long now. Now's the time to act. Get to 5868 Westheimer or call him and he'll make it for you. You can send him a picture. That's what I did. I sent him a picture. He said, okay, made, done, all done. I got it. I'll have it for you on Friday. 832-316-1388. 832-316-1388. 5868 Westheimer. You can see it all online at KleinsJewelry.com. It's Klein's Jewelry. Make it a Klein's Christmas.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance, apparently the NHL, you see this, they're suspending their season. They've decided that they are not going to send NHL players to Beijing for the Olympics. No, NHL players will not be part of the Olympics, so that changes quite a bit. I would imagine that changes a lot for each of the countries. And, I mean, not having NHL players that you thought you were going to have, that is probably going to suck for a lot of countries. The hockey won't be as good, but it'll be interesting to see how that works out. It used to be, it was just, except the Soviets, always sent a professional team while the rest of us just sent amateurs. But the NBA says, nope, we're going to continue our season. We're going to fight through this thing. Here's Adam Silver talking about the NBA trying to overcome COVID.
We do think there's an opportunity to potentially lead here. You know, as I said, we have the advantage that we have a highly vaccinated group. We're moving towards a group that, I mean, well above the national average in terms of boosters, but we'd like to get it way up into the 90%, just like we have with vaccinated. And maybe we can demonstrate that there's a way that people can move forward, again, recognizing that this virus, unfortunately, isn't going anywhere, and it's just going to become part of our lives for the foreseeable future.
Now, that's interesting, because Harry Douglas, here Harry Douglas, I think it was this morning, he had this to say about what Adam Silver just said.
when they shut down the first time, I think Adam Silver in the back of his mind is saying, okay, I seen how it affected the following NBA season and how players and their bodies and how they didn't want to do A, B, C, or D. They had to go to the bubble the whole nine. But in my mind, I'm thinking like, okay, it is a time where we're going to have to live with it like now. So I understand where Adam Silver is coming from. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if he should be saying that out loud. I don't think he should be saying it out loud.
I think it's the new reality. Why is Adam Silver got a... I mean, what is that?
Wait, what? I don't understand. He shouldn't be saying what out loud?
Well, it's like, you know, Coach Cully shouldn't be saying out loud that Nick Caserio is telling him when to call timeouts. You know, that Adam Silver is making a mistake. It's the new reality that we all live in. I mean, listen, I have no idea, but from all instances, apparently they're saying there's now one death in the Houston area from Omicron. I mean, I don't know, but from all accounts that this variant isn't nearly as powerful.
Yeah,
right. And so
analyze risk, mitigate risk, and then move on.
And all NBA players are saying now. I mean, listen, NFL players don't test us anymore.
John, tell me how many NFL players opted out. The NFL said you can opt out.
Zero.
Last year,
zero.
Almost like eight starters for the Patriots defense opted out. Tell me how many NFL players again did you
zero.
Say opted out?
Zero opted out. I mean, out. Yeah.
Thank you.
Because
we should not be playing. Remember the basketball before they had to go to the bubble? There was a talk about whether or not they should even be playing this and that. And I understand the social justice was part of the decision making and stuff like that. Nobody in basketball, everybody in basketball wants to keep playing and getting their paychecks. Nobody, like the NHL paused because they had a Christmas break coming up and they extended their pause. And I get all that. Sports isn't going to, the NFL and now NBA this is going to lead to, it's not going backwards for a less powerful variant of COVID. No one's going to alter.
Well,
what's
a lot of
on.
Things are being altered right now. Travis Kelce is on the COVID list. Now Tyreek Hill is on the COVID list.
Well, yeah. So that's now that's
the Cleveland
an issue
Browns.
Right now.
Their whole team was decimated by the COVID list. The Rams were decimated by the COVID list. I mean, so
Cole Beasley is out.
Yeah, Cole Beasley. Obviously, Cole Beasley had a lot to say about it. Just,
yeah.
I mean, Cole Beasley is just he is a nonstop COVID soundbite. But I mean, guys are Le'Veon Bell has been signed by the Bucks. Well, obviously, Fournette is hurt, but I mean, with COVID and everything else, now it's just opened up. All these NBA teams are getting all these players from all over as emergency players because they got guys on this COVID list. And how about asymptomatic players that are sitting there going, "What the? Why am I sitting here? Why am I sitting here when I don't even have a sniffle and I'm fine? Why can't I go play for my team?" And it just is. I think we're going to get to a. I hope we're going to get to a point that we're going to be saying, you know what, whatever. We're saying just okay. Don't test anybody anymore. You know what? If this ruins our college football playoff, because I guess is there mass testing today or booster shots today at Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Are you in on
Michigan?
That?
Yeah, we're all going to go together, me and all my friends at Michigan. We're all going together. And Alabama's already said, you know, Nick Saban said, we're getting, you know, we're 90% vaccinated. We're getting boosters. We're going to sequester. Nick Saban's not letting anyone do anything. So, yeah, it hasn't been a factor the entire college football year. And now all of a sudden, because of this less virulent but highly transmittable variant, could end up having an impact on college football like it is on pro football. Like, yeah, you're right. It is having an impact on pro football. And that's why pro football is saying, yeah, let's look at the protocols. You understand next year, the protocols will be way, way different from the NFL, don't you?
Well, I think even this week,
it's going to be don't ask, don't tell.
Week, it's different. If you're asymptomatic, you're not going to get tested.
Yep.
I mean, so that makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense to what's been going on. And actually, Jeff Zilgit talking about NBA players. I mean, NBA players of all players are saying, we don't care.
Many players in their 20s, 30s in great health, well-conditioned, you know, they're not the at-risk community that, you know, we're really talking about when it comes to severe illness and death. And so they're saying, hey, we can manage to play this season. Is it going to be difficult at times? Look at the Brooklyn Nets. Sometimes they're putting out a difficult roster. Yes, teams understand that, but they still want to play the season. And again, I would be naive, and I think we all would be, to ignore the financial implications of not playing games.
Yeah, I mean, get out there. Let's play. I don't want to take lightly all the people that have died and whatnot. But this variant certainly has changed, I think, the entire country's view. Other countries are freaking out still, shutting down because of this variant where it doesn't seem, it seems like, when was the last time we shut down because of a country because of the flu? So hopefully we're smart about this thing. Dana Holgorsen's going to join us in about 20 minutes here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And Marcus Jones has opted out of, and that's a shame that Marcus is not going to play in this football game. He's opted out. He says he's going to get ready for the NFL draft. We'll get Dana's thoughts on that. I think it kind of sucks.
So the draft is what, May? So December? Okay. Okay. I get it.
Yeah.
You're really, when you say get ready for the draft, you mean get ready for the combine. Or in Marcus's case, maybe get ready for the Senior Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Don't opt out of the Senior Bowl too then. If you're opting out of the bowl game, don't be one of these players who decides you're going to be there for one day at the Senior Bowl and then bolt. Don't do that.
You know, I get it.
By the way, Senior Bowl's at the end of January. I think January 28th, around there. I mean, we're 5 weeks away. Really? When does U of H doesn't play for another 3 weeks, John? When do they play?
They play in a week.
Oh, so there would be time still to get ready for Senior Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's fine. That's fine. I just, the opting out to get ready thing, it just, it's never going to sit well with me because you can still do, like, you can do both.
Yeah.
You can be ready for the Senior Bowl and you can play in a bowl game. It's not one or the other. You can do both, and they have for, I don't know, decades.
I understand, you know, the risk, the injury risk, but you've taken that injury risk all season long, and because of the way you played and because of your team and because of your teammates blocking for you on kick returns, and you know what? That's a reason that you're in the situation that you're in. I get it. What does this game mean? What does the Birmingham Bowl mean? I don't know. It means a lot to a lot of players. I mean, a lot of players aren't going pro. This is possibly their last game. If you're a senior, this is possibly, you know, a showcase for those guys. Or it's just great to be part of it. You know what I'm saying? And those guys were with you all the way and helped you get there. So I see it. I see Leach's point is great. You mean you think you're going to have eight to 10-year career in the NFL, but you can't play this one game? How are you going to have an 8 to 10 year career if you're worried about playing in a game?
Yeah.
So, and even if you do get injured now, if there's something that happens with the way that you know, training and medicine is today, it's different than getting hurt in the 70s and 80s. It's way different, way different. Even back in the early 2000s, it's different. So I understand it, and God bless that. You know, Marcus Jones. What have you done him yet? Have you written him up?
Yep. I think his highest, I gave him what amounts to a third round grade. I think he has a chance to go in the second. He's an elite return talent, which we all know that, but you know, you don't have as many kickoff returns in the pros. So now you kind of just focus on punt return. I think he's a shorter slot, but I think that, a team would be very wise to give him reps at wide receiver and just see what they see, because there's some elements of, he's not as fast as Tyreek Hill, but he feels like he's in the zip code of his quickness. And when I watched him in the limited reps he had at wide receiver at Houston, I was like, holy crap, how can anyone stay with him in man coverage? I don't know how you would guard him. So I honestly think wide receiver should be a position that is explored a little bit, because why not get the ball? How much of an impact can he have as a slot corner, and how much can he have with the ball in his hands on the offensive side? That's how I look at it. The guy makes unbelievably huge plays.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's got a chance to be a good pro, even at his
size. He does.
Yep.
He does. He's super competitive, and I like him. Yep. I like the player.
I wish he was being competitive in the Birmingham Bowl, but that's just me. I just don't – you know what? The opt-out thing of guys who aren't, you know, top of the draft, I just don't get it. You got more that you can prove in that game. You've got a lot more that you can prove to scouts, and maybe you'll up your status in that football. It's, you know, in a bowl game against Auburn – I can tell against, you know, better talent what kind of football player you're going to be, and I hate to see that you don't want to be part of that. It's 828 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I know when you were playing basketball, you were all state. So now people can still be all state.
A, I wasn't all state as a basketball player. B, we're not talking about basketball. Okay, this is about windows, and in this case, old aluminum windows. And for those of you who want to get rid of those old aluminum windows, and when we had that cold front come through, that's when leaky single pane aluminum windows, these are the worst. We'll change them out with beautiful windows from Allstate Windows and Siding. They're made here in Texas, and Allstate windows are energy efficient. They are built for the Texas tough weather, like rain and wind, the excessive heat, the excessive cold freeze that we had last year. It's all covered. Keep your home warm all winter and save on your electric bill. Call 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936 for an appointment for your free window inspection today. Get 25% off your window and for a limited time, no interest for 36 months when you mention ESPN. Family run for over four generations. Allstate Windows and Siding is here to help Houston. Military, senior citizen, and cash discounts are available. Go to AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. Remember, for the best rate, call Allstate Windows and Siding.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Oh, goodness. The obfuscator is at it again, just starting crap. Why does John never mention Romeo Crennel on? Who gives a rat's ass that Romeo Crennel? He's a consultant. It's highly unusual for a GM to be on the headset. The only one I've ever heard of. It's
Dude,
on the
Jay
headset.
Is the, a.
Oh, he's a bleep starter.
Guy.
He's just a bleep starter. Who cares that Romeo Crennel? He's a consultant. Maybe Romeo. I hope Romeo Crennel is helping out Lovey as much as he possibly can, giving him information. What I heard, and for those of you that hadn't heard this before, Nick Caserio was. This is a piece. And it's about a minute long. If you didn't hear this, we played it a little bit earlier. This is Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, and Caserio is in this as well. This is those guys talking about Caserio's role. Now, they say, now Bill Belichick calls him general manager, and I'm going to put quotes around general manager when I talk about Nick Caserio with the Patriots, because Nick Caserio, Patriots general manager, is a lot different than Nick Caserio, a general manager with anybody else, all right? It's different.
Yeah, way
it's,
different.
It's way different because Nick Caserio, general manager of the Houston Texans, is running the show. Nick Caserio, general manager of the Patriots, was not even close to running the show.
That was a quote unquote general manager.
Right. That's exactly right. And you know, I guess it's much the same way. I don't know what's the Chiefs situation like with Andy Reid.
Andy is no Brett Veach's GM.
Yeah,
I mean Andy in the power structure, Andy's over Brett Veach, but Brett Veach isn't on headsets or coaching wide receivers.
No, right. And this is interesting because, listen, if Nick Caserio is doing for the Houston Texans what he did for the New England Patriots, I'd be like, oh, now I get it. Is Nick Caserio taking on as big a role telling what team personnel is on the field for the opponent? Is he, you know, helping Tim Kelly call? Well, if he is, then it's been then he should stop doing it because the offense has been the worst, one of the worst in NFL history. So I don't know that he's doing that much. All we heard from Coach Cully was that Nick Caserio is helping him strategize at the end of games. I don't know how much more input he has, but Nick Caserio, listen to this. He had a bunch of input in what was going on with offensively for the New England Patriots.
Toughness is a trait Bill Belichick reveres. He also values versatility. No Patriot staff member wears more hats than Nick Caserio.
I don't think there's another general manager in the league that would do anything that would even approach what he does comprehensively in addition to all the personnel duties. He's there for game plan meetings, preparation, practice, game day.
Nick spends a lot of time digesting our information offensively, defensively, the game plan, the opponent.
Nick's background has been in coaching as well as scouting. So he has a very good understanding of our offensive system, how we try to utilize our personnel on game days. He identifies the personnel, substitution, and coverage.
All right, second and nine. Second and eight. Right hand. Tim, look for Tampa.
I'm looking at what the other team is doing and trying to give Josh the information so that he can make a quick decision about what he wants to call, what personnel he wants to put in the game. Maybe the game plan is shifted, so we have to come up with another idea or concept. You have to be able to react and then be able to disseminate that information quickly so that he can make a good decision.
That play's been a good play for us. You can always hate it, too, to give him a different look.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great thing to have somebody like that in the booth that you trust and that knows what you want from them in terms of the communication.
Nick does a tremendous job for us. Works hard, has got a great capacity, and has a very unique skill set.
It's very impressive.
Yeah, really valuable.
So do you think, so he brought this type of strategy. Is Pep Hamilton up there doing that for Tim Kelly? Is anyone doing that for Tim Kelly?
No, I don't think that. I think they consider Nick to be a unicorn in a sense, a former coach. Well, you know, there's not a lot of former coach managers from. I don't think former coach general managers in the NFL, and I think Bill Belichick, just because that's a unicorn organization. Where, look, they're out there capturing data. They've been caught cheating on more than one occasion. They look for advantages in any way they can. Bill Belichick, we know, loves – he's just different. Everything about them is different. They place a different value on special teams. They have different types of valuations on offensive linemen and defensive linemen. It's not surprising that he took a guy who he thinks is a Swiss Army knife and Nick Caserio and asked him to do a variety of roles. And I guess it shouldn't be surprising that Nick Caserio doesn't say, look, why don't I use my background in doing this stuff and try to help my team win the most games because this is my team now. And frankly, David Culley is just not – does not have the experience needed to operate with game management. I think it's a bad look for David Culley, and I think Nick Caserio hired him for that reason, that he couldn't do those things so that Nick could operate without pushback from a head coach. And I think that – I think we should ask questions about that. Is that a healthy thing to do, is hire a coach that's maybe not competent so that you can continue to push the envelope of what a general manager will do relative to? Because I can tell you, most head coaches are not going to be okay with that, not in the future. It's just not – you found the one guy that's a go-along to get along. Most head coaches that are worth their weight won't do that. Now, I will say – if you bring in, you mentioned this, if you bring in Josh McDaniels, who already has a background of doing this with Nick Caserio, we just heard that, I think we'll see the same thing. So
yeah.
Not bring in the guy that you can, you know, you can keep the Patriot way going?
Well, I don't mind. It seemed like Nick Caserio was very valuable in everything that they did there. I don't know. You know what? We've talked about it, how many hats that Bill O'Brien wore here, and it was just way too much. It seems like Nick Caserio wants to spend you know, 15 hours a day at the facility just working and working and working, okay, you know, that's fine. So if he doesn't want any life at all, because that seems like what it would be like to do all the jobs that he did with the Patriots and do those here as well, but make all those decisions himself as opposed to having Bill Belichick. But it's clear to me that as closely as he worked with Josh McDaniels, and you know, and earlier this week we had a report that said he's already got his long-term coach in mind. It's clear that guy has to be Josh McDaniels. He has to be the overwhelming favorite to be the next head coach. You know, when you maybe they got a plan. As soon as we get some players in place here, why don't you come? Because Bo Cully is going to be out the door with that losing record, and you can come in here when we get good, a la A.J. Hinch when he took over the Houston Astros. It's much the same, I think, design that they were doing. Hopefully they're able to, you know, identify as much talent as the Houston Astros organization was and get this thing turned around relatively quickly. Dana Holgerson's going to join us on the other side. A reminder, we have the Christmas party on Friday, and it's also not only are we have everything that's going on, we're going to have Coors Light, we're going to have Free Birds, we're going to have donut, we're going to have all your food and beer covered, but we're also, it's a Gilbert Christmas as well. We are going to be raising, if you can, bring some money or a sweatshirt or a t-shirt or a hat, whatever it is for Gilbert out there. And after we're done at 10 o'clock, we are going to run over there. Well, if y'all want a caravan over to see Gilbert, and we'll deliver everything that we collect for him and make it a special Christmas for a guy who is in, right now he's in a nursing home by himself, and he'll be there through Christmas. So that'll kind of suck. And I know he's depressed. If you heard him call up here, it's a place that we haven't heard Gilbert at before. So it'll be nice. I went and visited him, and he was glad to have the company for a while. And I know he'll be very appreciative. Well, you never know with Gilbert what kind of appreciation you're going to get. But
that's just facts. That's just facts.
That's a fact. But let's try to make this a nice Gilbert Christmas on Friday. So come on out. You got to be there. Bring it on Friday morning out to Klein's, 5868 Westheimer. In the meantime, Craig DeSurf.
At Craig DeSurf, they're doing some great stuff at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. I'm going to head out there tomorrow, as a matter of fact. And I'm encouraging you right now to take advantage of the Chevy $500 red tag bonus cash going on right now for select popular 2021 and 2022 Chevy vehicles. You're going to find these vehicles at Gulf Coast Chevy out in Angleton, but you can also find it at LanceZCars.com. Maybe you want a Silverado 1500 crew cab. Maybe it's a Chevy Equinox or the Chevy Traverse, which is the vehicle I drive, my wife drives it. We love it. Start your shopping right now at LanceZCars.com. Remember, no matter what the purchase allowances and dealer cashback and any incentives that are out there, they're also throwing you an extra $500 off of anything with the red tag bonus cash on it. So right now, Gulf Coast Chevy and Angleton, they're out there waiting for you. Get great trade-in value for your vehicle and get great vehicles at great prices. Chevy, find new roads.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, bringing in the head coach of the Houston Cougars, who are playing Auburn next Tuesday, and leaving, I believe, you guys leave Christmas Eve morning, right? Or Christmas Eve, you leave for the game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 24th. So got a few days of work here before we go.
How's practice been going?
Just getting started back, actually. You know, was a long season, 13 games. Missed out on a week of recruiting on the because of the championship game, which nobody's complaining about that. But you know, got around the city a little bit that first week and recruited, and then really cranked up recruiting after that. So the players had 2 weeks off. They had finals. I let them go home for a while because once they came back, they were going to be here for 10 days. So we came back on Sunday, started practice. They were pretty tired, groggy, emotional loss in the championship game. 2 weeks off, which they needed, was tired. But then they came back and was refreshed. And Sunday was knocked the rust off. Monday was knocked the rust off. Tuesday we started getting some good stuff going on, and I expect a really good practice here this morning. So good to be back, and we got about 3 days, 4 days of preparation, and then we'll wind down and play the game.
What do you think about Auburn without Bo Nix?
Good. They're still good. He was a great player. You know, they went on a run there in the middle of the season where he was playing at a high level, and they were playing good. You know, they beat LSU. They lost the game to Georgia, but everybody did. Then they went to Arkansas and won by two touchdowns. They beat Ole Miss pretty easily. So they were playing pretty good right there. And then things turned. Won their schedule. They're at Texas A&M, which we know how hard that is. They had a collapse against Mississippi State there in the second half. They were beaten. Leacher like 28-3 at the mid second, you know, and then Leach just came storming back. Bo Nix got hurt, so then they had like an adjustment period. Brought in T.J. Finley, who looks like Cam Newton. He's the LSU transfer. He's 6'7", 250. He might be bigger than that. Lost at South Carolina, and then obviously that Alabama game was. It was just an unreal football game where they were kind of trying to find their identity offensively, but holy cow, did they play really good on defense. So I'm sure this 3 weeks of preparation that they've had has been good for them, trying to figure out what they're going to do offensively. I hear the Demetrius Davis from North Shore is going to play as well. So it's a guessing game as far as what they're going to do offensively. They got a new offensive coordinator. But they got good backs. They got a great offensive line, guys on the perimeter. They're a talented SEC football team. So you can say, well, they're 6-6. They stink. Well, I can assure you that's not the case. They're a really good football team.
Yeah, they've got some talent. I am curious to see how they handle, although they have played without Bo Nix. So we'll see how that works out. So Marcus Jones opted out. I don't know how much you want to say about that. I do think that he is. You know, his impact on a game and the way teams have to game plan for him is a really big deal. But what was your conversation? Can you share at all what the conversation was like, or if you had one with Marcus, and was there ever a chance he was going to play?
Well, both him and Logan Hall did what every Senior Bowl, potential high draft pick, wherever that might be. They all do it. Get used to it. It's going to happen more and more and more and more. These bowl games, because there's so much focus on the CFP, these bowl games in a lot of those high-profile guys don't really matter. So, it's a reward to be able to go play. We're excited about going to go play. Both Marcus and Logan are welcome to come with us if they want to. They played their absolute tail off in 13 games. Not once did I sense those guys coasting, sense the entitlement, not one time. And I've sensed that in the past with guys like them. So I can't say enough good things about both Marcus and Logan for what they've done for our program, for what they've accomplished here at Houston, and what their future is. They're a big part of what we did this year, and we're very proud of that. Now, Auburn's dealing with the same thing. Okay, they got a first round corner in Roger McCreary who's opted out. They have a Senior Bowl middle linebacker in Zacoby McClain that's opting out. They got more on the O line and D line. I haven't heard exactly how many they got, but they got more than we do because they got more top notch first round, second round. Senior Bowl candidates. And that's just what they do in bowl games like this. I mean, bowl games are awesome. They're a reward. They're a lot of fun. ESPN is making a huge push for bowl season. You watch any of these bowl games? That one last night was pretty daggum good game with UTSA and San Diego State. And all the announcers and all the ESPN crews do is pump how important bowl games are, because and there's a reason why they're doing that. Okay, so I, you know, it's, do I agree with it? Do I like it? No, there's nothing I can do about it, and it's going to continue to trend in that direction.
Dana Holgorsen with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Since last we talked, we had signing day, and obviously, you know, Texas A&M won the day, and Alabama and all those schools. So we don't hear nearly as much, but in large part, I don't know, how are you going about it? What are you doing with you know, keeping spots open for transfer portal, for losing guys, and for high school versus guys that are moving on? Tell us your thoughts and what you thought of your signing day.
Well, it was a good start, and that's all it was a start. It's so different than it has been in years past. There's an awful lot of NIL conversations going on that you're not even supposed to be a part of. You can see this happening at the bigger programs. That's all. You know, you mentioned the Texases and A&Ms and Alabamas and Auburns, all those guys, they're all the same at the top, and they're all doing the same things, and they're getting great players, and they're only getting better players, and they're becoming extremely dominant when it comes to that. We worry about what we can worry about and what we can control. This was a start. We wanted to focus on mid-year guys more than anything. We signed six kids that are going to be mid-year, three junior college players and three high school players, probably headlined by Matthew Golden, the receiver from here in Houston up at Klein Kane, was one of the top receivers in the country and is, I would argue, one of the better ones in the city that that we commenced to stay home. The Big 12 brand, the Big 12 behind the University of Houston helps. It doesn't seal the deal on guys, but you know, we're able to close with some pretty highly rated guys. You know, Demetrius Hunter's another midterm guy, O lineman, you know, that was committed to Oklahoma for a long time, convinced him to stay home out of Orange, Texas. And Moses Alexander is a 6'3 corner out of Galveston. That's a 3-for-3 player that had all a bunch of SEC stuff that we convinced him to stay home. So that Big 12 helps when it comes to sealing the deal at the end. You know, so that's all positive, but that's only a start for what we got going on. We're going to sign 33 guys this year. You know, so you look at it, and in two signing classes, in the 22 period and the 23 period, we're going to turn over this roster by about 66%. So, you know, these are important. This is important. You know, year, it'll go, we'll bring another wave in before mid-year. We'll bring another wave in February, and we'll bring another wave in after spring when more people hit the portal. So it's a combination of high school guys, junior college guys, and then what we need and what's available in the portal.
Dana Holgorsen is our guest here, head coach at University of Houston. Yeah, I mean, so much. It's easy to get into a conversation about the portal, this, and the NIL, and opting out. There's a lot of things to not be positive or happy about in terms of the direction of college football. But I do think one of the things that I do like to focus on is once you get to the bowl games itself, Dana, can you talk about, you've been part of a lot of different bowl games. What's the experience like for players who actually get to play in the bowl games? And forget the game for a second, the elements around the bowl game. What is that like for a player?
Well, I might have forgot. We you know, my first year here, we stunk, so we couldn't get there. And then last year was COVID, yeah, and so right. It was just like a road game. You know, we went to Frisco for the night before the game and then played it. I've been fortunate to be in a whole bunch of good bowl games. I did go to Birmingham a couple of like a week ago. They got a great little setup there. It's really nice, Birmingham. As they brag about how good their food is and everything, which I know we can counter that with what we have available here in Houston from a culinary aspect. But the food's supposed to be great. The Southern hospitality is going to be great. The new UAB stadium is spectacular. It's about 42,000, but brand new and really nice. There's a whole uptown area that's got like Top Golf and a bunch of restaurants and a convention center is all that right there at the stadium. So I think it's going to be great, man. I mean, we got problem is, you know, we go on Christmas Eve and then we're there on Christmas Day. So not a whole lot of that's going to be open. And then once it opens back up, we get like one day to go kind of kick it around uptown. Then you're playing the game, you know. So it's good. The gifts are good. The food is generally good. The atmosphere is going to be great. We're going to be the road team again, just like we were up in Cincinnati. But it will be full. There'll be 90% Auburn fans, but it will be full. So it should be fun. It'll be a huge challenge for our team. This is a really good football team that has great players, and they're going to be excited about playing in front of their own crowd.
Dana Holgorsen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is there a question whether or not Clayton Toon is coming back?
Not to my knowledge, there's not. you know, we'll sit down with them, you know, here. I've had a couple of talks with them. I mean, he's had a good year, man. You know, he's turned the corner. He's had a good year. He's been here 4 years. He's played 4 years, so that natural clock starts kind of, you know, that alarm kind of starts going off on what's the next chapter in my life. I've been here for 4 years. I got my college degree. What do I do? So you kind of start making some calls and testing the waters a little bit. I'm proud about how he's turned the corner. I think if he comes back next year, then he's gonna have a great season. You know, we need to have him. We need him to have a great season, and we need to host that championship game and win that sucker here one more time in the American.
Yeah, I mean, look what Kenny Pickett did in his, you know, last year there when no one was talking about a Kenny Pickett. You never know. Get that extra year in there. If he has another big year or even a bigger year than he had this year, he's going to be on a lot of people's radars. Hopefully he will come back. Why don't you come out to our Christmas party on Friday morning and hang out with us before you're not doing anything. You might as well before you go to Birmingham.
I would love to, John. You know that. I mean, you guys are my people, so I would love to come do that and hang out with y'all. We got to practice and then get on a plane and go to Birmingham.
Oh, yeah, it's just a practice. You don't. Do you have to be there?
We're talking about practice.
Gotta be there.
It's just a practice. I mean, that's all right. I guess if you want to miss a Christmas party at Klein's, then all right. Oh well. Then okay, I guess.
Well, next year, schedule it around our practices, okay?
Well, I didn't know what time you were practicing. Well, you got an early game, so you got to get up early and practice, right?
Yeah, it's 11 a.m. on Tuesday the 28th, so we're practicing every day for about 9 days. Right now, I'm 2 minutes late to practice, so we're going to get out there at 9 and go till about noon, so... Oh. So we'll be used to getting up and getting going in the morning.
Well, I wanted you to come out and, you know, bring something, bring a U of H hat or sweatshirt for Gilbert. Maybe you can get Door's not doing anything. Maybe you can bring us a...
I have Door deliver one.
Have Door deliver us something for Gilbert, all right?
I will do.
All right. That's Dana Holgorsen right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And after you win this game, then come back on, all right?
You got it, buddy. Appreciate it. Happy holidays, everybody.
All right. There's Dana Holgorsen with us here. He's been here every week of the football season. Great stuff. Right now, I'm talking about Coors Light. I'm talking about cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing Coors Light. If you think that I haven't had a few of those in my life, then you'd be wrong. You don't know what you're talking about, okay? I'm a big advocate. I'm a big proponent of everything Coors Light. I don't have my gear on today. I'm a little disgusted that I don't have a golf shirt from Coors Light, but okay. And you know what? I'm fine. You don't think I would wear that? I'd be wearing it right now. Yes, of course I would if I had a Coors Light golf shirt. I have T-shirts. I got hats, but no golf shirt. Okay, whatever. Coors Light. You just keep on being Coors Light. Keep on keeping on. But here's the deal: is if you're looking for cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, you're looking for the world's most refreshing beer, you're looking for, you know, a beer this holiday season, make one that you feel great about, that it's not that a dark beer or a bitter beer and you're like, oh goodness gracious, this is terrible. You know what you want is a beer that you can actually enjoy, that you with any meal, with just sitting around, with walking around, with playing golf, whatever it is you're doing, gambling, whatever it is you're doing this holiday season. Please make it cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from ESPN 97.5.